Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
So I won't butcher your introduction. If you can share a bit about yourself, that would be great, man.
For sure. My name is Joseph. I'm a security specialist at the GitHub Security Lab.
Yep.
The focus of my career is to help software developers write secure software. So let's say that the focus of my career is to make cybersecurity easy for developers. I'm doing this at the GitHub Security Lab, which is a team of security experts with the mission to secure the open source software that we all depend on. We are doing this through a range of activities like vulnerability research, where we found more than 1,000 of security vulnerabilities in the past 4 years, 500 plus of which have been given security identifiers, also known as CVEs.
Yep.
And personally, I produce a lot of content for the developers that is developer first. So the language used for security is developer focused, is friendlier
for them.
And at the same time, as a group, we try to help towards that direction because open source software is so important for the whole world.
Awesome. And maybe this is a good point to bring the whole GitHub Copilot as well. I think initial conversations about GitHub Copilot was talking about developers, productivity and all of that. Our audience being a cloud security audience that have engineers in them as well. How would you describe GitHub Copilot to them? Like, what is GitHub Copilot?
It's an AI pair programmer. Therefore, imagine a coding assistant right at your code editor.
Yeah.
Right at your fingertips, able to suggest code. These code suggestions get the form of autocomplete. If you are already typing some code, you can give context and the logic, basically what you want to do by adding a comment. And then when you go to the next line, you have code suggestions.
All right.
And of course, there is GitHub Copilot chat, which is a chat functionality where you can talk to this coding assistant for dozens of use cases. For example, explain code, generate test cases, or in general, in the same way you ask for code on the comments, you can ask for code on the chat.
So is it more for developers or is there parts which are for security as well?
I will say it's for everybody that works with code
as
a code assistant.
Yep.
For developers, maybe because they write much more code than the rest, it can be more suitable for them, but there are a lot of security professionals that are also writing code.
Yeah.
And of course, other professions and specialists around the world who also write code or have something to do with code.
And to bring this home for people, what would be a good security use case that you can think that people can use GitHub Copilot for from a security perspective?
For example, let's say that someone is a penetration tester and wants to generate a script that is attacking something specific.
Yeah.
You can ask Copilot for that.
Okay.
To, like, for example, you can give the requirements for the script and you expect code generation there.
Yeah.
Or something that I do a lot is to generate fuzzing strings.
Yep, yep.
Like, for example, I want this length, I want to have this amount of alphanumeric, this amount of complex or special characters.
Yep.
At the same time, GitHub Copilot is enabled on the web. So you can navigate in a project like at GitHub, an open source project.
Okay.
That you might consider adding to your supply chain. And at the top, you have the Copilot icon. By clicking that, the chat is opening. And you can ask security-related questions like, what is the attack surface of this project? I've done this at Bootstrap, and the answers were helping me. For example, you had, oh, here is where the widgets are used, and this can be a problem for cross-site scripting vulnerabilities.
Yep.
Or here is this sidebar that has the ability to do this and that, opening the door for these security issues. This can help me as a security specialist to be very specific and productive on where I look for before I start to read the whole code base.
And because those are interesting use cases. Also from a perspective that a lot of people who write code and writing code for different purposes. So there's a fuzzing element for people who are on the offset side, even on the appsec side as well sometimes, just to know that I have a use case in my mind for this particular code that I'm reviewing for my team. What does that look like? And now in terms of a lot of our audience also writes something called CDK, which is like a developer kit provided by most of the cloud providers. And great example is the Terraform CDK or AWS CDK. Is there a use case for something like that as well in GitHub Copilot?
My understanding is that CDKs are going to be wrapped around programming languages like Python, JavaScript. GitHub Copilot is capable of autocomplete with coding suggestions for a range of languages and frameworks,
okay.
but is particularly good at Python, JavaScript, TypeScript, Go, Ruby, C++, C Sharp. This means that for CDKs, while I haven't really tested out myself the specific use case of those, since they are in these languages, we expect to have auto-completion capability there as well.
Okay, so anyone who's listening or watching this would be able to, say if they write CDK in Python or Go or whatever, they should at least be able to say, because maybe even mix and match, and obviously you haven't tested this, so I take that with a pinch of salt as well. People can find out and experiment with this. They can use it to create scripts that can help them do some kind of security testing on their internal software. Why are businesses going for GitHub Copilot? Like, what's the motivation for businesses?
We can take the example of Mercado Libre, which is a large e-commerce website in Latin America that has seen 50% improvement in the time taken in writing code. This means that they have half of the time in their hands to use and pursue in other activities that they have in their backlog.
Yeah.
And just to give the audience an idea about the size of these large e-commerce website, we are talking about a company of 13,000 software developers, 9,000 of which were using Copilot, with 100,000 PRs merged every day. So productivity is one thing.
Yeah.
At the same time, there is developer happiness, satisfaction, let's call it less frustration when they are doing something. And our research shows that 88% of our users feel less distractions, less frustrations when they are writing code.
Yeah.
Probably because they don't have to write daunting or repetitive boilerplate. For me, this is a big one. At the same time, if we remove Mercado Libre from the scene and we see the big picture, our stats show that for the end of 2022, 35% of newly written code was AI generated. And this number, 1 year later, therefore at the end of 2023, went to up to 60% for popular languages like Java. This shows that a lot of code is AI generated and there's a reason behind.
Yeah, and I think this is where I was on LinkedIn early today or yesterday, and people were talking about, is there enough trust in the code generated? Would you say you still need someone to review the code before you put it in production? As you said, even though that many people would have deployed the code, but the expectation here is that someone has already reviewed the code before. Hopefully, they did not put that straight in production. Would that be accurate?
It's accurate because Copilot, as the name suggests, is a co-pilot.
Yeah.
The developer, the user, is the pilot, is the mind behind, is the person who directs what's happening. And of course, in the same way that you shouldn't trust blindly an AI coding assistant, you shouldn't trust blindly anybody. In the same way your code goes through security testing anyway, the best practice at least is for code to go through security testing. In the same way, you should test all your code, even if it's AI generated or not. Same practice, same principles.
Yeah. And would you say, because I'm thinking about a lot of people who would be listening to this stuff from enterprise, they already have a lot of old code. Is like ChatGPT was interesting, right? Because that was basically I log in and basically suddenly I can do, solve complex problems. What's onboarding experience like when it's, because I imagine GitHub is used by a lot of enterprise and so is use AI Copilot would be interesting more. In that context, what's the user experience when you're trying to use something like GitHub Copilot?
The experience looks like any other extension in a code editor.
Okay.
GitHub Copilot is going to take the context of the code base and suggest code. Therefore, if the code base is old of legacy code or a new one, there is not really a difference for a coding assistant in the sense that it works in the same way.
Okay.
Taking into consideration the files and be able to suggest code based on the user comments. This cuts the onboarding, of course, makes the user experience of someone that is new to a code base much more friendly, much simpler, and of course, faster. On personal experience, I was trying to make myself comfortable with a new code base, and I was asking questions all the time to Copilot chat, like for example, what is this function doing? Or where are the input fields? What is the attack surface? similar like before, or give me an outline of this. I try to use my own questions that I will ask a senior software developer, like coding assistant.
Without frustrating the senior developer.
And without asking for extra time. Everything is there 24/7. I can ask whatever I like.
Yeah. It's really interesting. In an old code as well, during the onboarding, so am I giving it access to my entire repository? And it just goes, okay, in your repository, you have 25, 30. And I'm making up a scenario here. Please take it for the pinch of salt it is. 20 repositories, my organization runs out of those 20 repositories. And I have the plugin in my IDE for GitHub Copilot. And it is able to understand the context across all the repositories and go, okay, because you're trying to add a feature in this one repository, would it be, and I don't know if this is actually a scenario, would it be able to suggest code for, hey, if you're trying to write a feature for, I don't know, adding a change in the color from blue to green, that make it super simple. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to ask the chat, hey, how do I change the color from blue to green? And for whatever reason, I'm trying to change this in an old legacy code, it would still be able to get the context of the remaining repositories and go, oh, I think if you change this, you might want to change it all these other places because that's where it's a global variable and it's being used everywhere. Would it have, and have we come to that level with GitHub Copilot?
To the best of my knowledge, not yet.
Okay.
You can ask for a change in one file at a time.
Okay.
And to one repo, to one code base at a time.
That is still pretty good. Yeah, considering that a lot of companies do run just off one repo as well. As I would have given the example, a lot of security people on the podcast and the YouTube channel would be like, wait, what does that mean for my code's intellectual property, security, privacy? How are you guys assuring your customers that security privacy is basically being taken care of as well as you work through this?
It's a question that I'm getting asked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The variations of that question can be, oh, will GitHub Copilot take my context in order to train the model?
Mm.
Will you take my code as it is and suggest it to other users of Copilot? The answer is that we do our best security-wise in the same way we do with other products across the whole platform.
Mm.
In the same way we follow best practices in everything we do,
yeah.
We also follow for GitHub Copilot. And specifically, when someone has the business or the enterprise license, then we retain nothing.
Mm.
For example, you ask for something through a prompt. We just take the prompt that travels, of course, through the web to us securely in an encrypted manner. We just use it to give a reply.
Okay.
And that's it. Then it's not getting retained in the same way that nothing is being kept. When it comes to the individual license, for those who don't have the business or the enterprise and have the individual GitHub Copilot license, we give the chance for them to opt in or opt out at any stage from sharing analytics,
yep.
In the same way that they can do so with any other product around the world.
Oh, the same way iPhone, Apple would ask you, hey, share analytics, or Google would ask you, share analytics.
It's that hitbox.
Okay, so similar. And what about regulatory industries as well? Because I think that's probably a harder nut to crack for a lot of people, because is there anything from a security compliance perspective from there on GitHub Copilot?
GitHub Copilot individually is not currently certified against the rest of certifications that GitHub is certified. For example, GitHub has a SOC 2 and an ISO 27001 certification. We are taking steps towards the direction of getting GitHub Copilot certified,
yep.
Such as engage a third-party auditor to perform an assessment, and we expect for this assessment to finish by the end of May 2024 so that GitHub Copilot will have a SOC 2 Type 1 certification and an ISO 27001.
Mm.
In the meantime, we are taking steps by securing Copilot in the same way we are securing every other product across the platform.
Yeah.
And of course, we have performed a third-party penetration test to GitHub Copilot for business.
Mm-hmm.
The results can be asked to us.
Yeah.
And they are going to be protected by an NDA. We are happy to provide those to our existing enterprise customers.
Yeah.
And those people who are doing the bug hunters out there, GitHub Copilot is in scope in our bug bounty program.
Okay, wow.
For them to search for vulnerabilities.
All right. And another term that keeps coming up is the whole GitHub Copilot X. And it's funny, I think when I was doing research for this, initially I kept looking for GitHub Copilot, what else is out there on the internet? And then somehow I went into this rabbit hole for GitHub Copilot X. What is GitHub Copilot X?
It's a great question. X is not a product.
Okay.
It's our vision for the future. It's our vision to bring AI in every step of the software development lifecycle, so
right.
that developers are seeing the big picture, they are being creative,
mm-hmm.
and AI is taking on either inside or outside of the editor, the daunting and the repetitive tasks, such as writing boilerplate code. For example, we want to have developers writing code in the speed that they can think, in the speed of their minds.
Oh, wow.
And a great use case of that for our viewers to visualize is GitHub Copilot Workspaces,
mm-hmm.
which was the last thing our CEO, Thomas Domke, showed at the opening keynote of GitHub Universe 2023. 2 months ago,
yeah.
early November.
For people who don't know what Workspace is, what is GitHub Workspace?
You just give an idea, let's say a feature name.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it on that demo. You have the issue being created, described, code is being written for you, submitted in a PR, the libraries are getting imported for you.
Oh.
So that you can think about the features.
Yeah.
And the rest can be done by AI. Tests are being generated and so on.
Wow. So is that in preview at the moment or is that GA?
It's a vision and
yeah.
it's being under work from GitHub Next, which
yeah.
is a team at GitHub who is forward-looking and is creating MVPs for the future.
Wow. That would be really interesting because people are using the current version, which is the GitHub Copilot. They're obviously seeing 50% more productivity and all that. So I still overall feel there's a positive spin to the whole thing. But that is a good future to look forward to.
Just on that,
yeah.
I just want to mention that at GitHub, we believe that developers are going to become even more important in the future.
Mm.
And that software opportunities or in general openings in the industry are going to grow. This is because every software revolution has brought new opportunities. For example, when compilers were out or when programming languages were searching, it's just changing. It's not that something is making developers obsolete. It's the opposite. Developers are needed there.
Mm.
AI is here to be an assistant and not to take the place of developers.
Yeah. And I think it's a good example because I think when we first started doing cloud security, a lot of people were like, hey, does that mean all the sysadmins are going to go out of jobs? Technically, they're not going out of jobs. Technically, they're basically, it's a new skill being created. And now, I think somebody should give me an example. The most important job that you can get at a point, and it's context for people in the UK, as a chariot rider for the Queen. That was the best job you could find at a certain point in time. Like right now, whoever the person is, great job to whoever he or she. And if they're driving, they're not even doing the horse thing. So same us now, this may be the step towards that kind of future where now, hey, we can work on bigger problems now rather than smaller problems. I appreciate you sharing all that. Thank you so much for coming. Now, I do have three questions, which are just non-technical, just personal questions, more in terms of just to get to know you a bit more. First one being, what do you spend time on when you're not working on GitHub Copilot or any of these amazing things?
I'm quite sporty.
Oh, nice.
I like to play tennis and my love for racket sports grows a bit more lately. I discovered paddle.
Oh, no. Are you one of those that you paddle? Oh, okay, fair enough.
I have never played.
Okay,
it's in the plan to use some of the future free time towards that direction.
Is that even a thing in the UK?
It is, yeah.
Really? So people actually play that paddle thing? I've seen videos of it, but I didn't realize that was a thing in the UK now.
I don't know how big it is in the UK compared to Spain or Italy that we are playing maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But I see more and more paddle courts around me.
Interesting. Okay, so there, I'm going to check those out as well. Second question for you. What is something that you're proud of, but that is not on your social media?
I wouldn't say that I post the things that I'm most proud of.
That's a good thing.
Let's say work-life balance. With all these conferences and in general coming back to real life, it's a bit difficult to maintain it. I am personally happy about that. And I don't promote it or I didn't promote it.
fair enough. I think that's a good... Finding a balance is important. I think I definitely struggle with it sometimes. So I respect you for that as well. Final question. What is your favorite cuisine or restaurant that you can share?
I have to go with the one I'm from. I will go with the Greek cuisine.
Oh, nice. Any particular dish that is your all-time favorite from a Greek cuisine?
It's the salad for me.
Oh, is that right?
Someone can say from, I don't know, dozens of dishes, why do you choose the salad? I don't know. It's one that goes in my heart when I eat it.
Wait, so for context for people who are probably not from Greece, So they should try a salad which has tomato. What kind of ingredients do you have? Because I think...
Super simple.
Yeah, okay, super simple.
Yeah, it's tomatoes, cucumber, green peppers, feta cheese, oregano, olive oil.
That's it?
That's pretty much it.
I'm going to try that. But okay, it has to be in Greece, though. Like, I think because London probably doesn't have as much.
I just believe that the ingredients are a bit more fresh.
I would take that into account. But dude, this was amazing. Where can people find you on the internet to connect and maybe talk more about GitHub Copilot?
You can find me at Twitter or LinkedIn under the handle at JKCSO.
Oh, JK, Chief Security Officer.
That's correct. I know many people will say, well, you are very young to have a CSO next to JK. It's a nickname. It comes from university. I was studying my master's in cybersecurity engineering, It was like a joke. Everybody on the course had the initials, plus they are CSO next to them. So I just kept that compared to the rest of the class that changed their
habit. Oh, fair enough. But it's a good thing when you apply for a job, it's like, oh, JKCSO.
Really?
There's something important here. But now I'll put that on the show notes as well. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. We'll see you in the next one. Peace.